That's the thing about the stunt business. It's given me so many great opportunities to, because I love doing the acting as well, but I love stunts, and I like it's being in front of the camera and doing some lines and all that, and then doing a bit of action, especially the fighting. If I'm going, doing a wrestling, and I'm going bang, bang, going, come on, you mug, do it, bang, bang, I'm fighting. I love it.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. All right, everyone, today's a very special episode. It features one of my favourite people that I ever got to meet in the stunt world and in life. Brian Nichols was an absolutely extraordinary stuntman and character. In this episode, he tells us about both his professional and unlicensed boxing careers, what it's like to fight Tom Hardy, and what stuntmen get up to in the background of fight scenes. As I said, today's a very special episode, but it's also a sad one, because unfortunately we lost Brian at the beginning of this year. Brian was a great friend, a loving husband and father, with amazing energy and passion for life. He may be gone, but never forgotten. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Brian Sonny Nichols, the champ. Cool. Can you start by introducing yourself and tell us how long you've been in the stunt industry?
Yes, my name's Brian Sonny Nichols. I'm a stunt performer for film and TV.
Nice. Would you mind like telling us a bit about how you got into the industry and what sort
Not
of started off?
I was a professional boxer back in the day, and my cousin who was training me with Jimmy Tibbs rang me up and said, would I like to go and earn myself 200 quid for a day? It's out of season. There was no boxing going on because boxing has seasons. I said, yeah, definitely. What I've got to do? He said, well, they're doing some filming down at All Stars on the Edgware Road, and they want someone who can hold their hands up because none of the extras or background people could, like, shape up properly. So I said, yeah, definitely. Now, when I went down there, I met this great big man by the name of Nosha Powell. I'd already heard about this man before, because through my father, and because he used to knock about with them sort of people back in the day, and Nosha was a bit of a chap, as you know, David. He's a bit of a chap. He's a well-known and well-respected man. And I'd already heard some funny stories about this man, so I was like, wow, this is actually with Nosha Powell. And we'd done the scene for the day. It's fantastic. He took a shine to me, because obviously Nosha was a professional boxer back in his day, and he was showing me all the dirty moves and what to do. And he said, when you finish your boxing career, son, he said, come look me up and come become a stuntman. That's exactly what I did.
Brilliant.
And obviously that's Greg's dad, isn't it?
That's Greg's dad, yeah.
So the powers of that, yeah. There's a whole family within
absolutely,
the industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uncle Denny as well.
Yeah, he was a fantastic boxer. All been in a boxing game, in a fight game in some way or another, yeah.
And then obviously it's taking you the time to train to get on the register.
I was going to say, would you mind telling us what all your various register skills were that you trained
right.
in?
That's a different answer. I've got a lot of boxing work. What I do.
Too many bangs to the edge.
I was a professional boxer. That counted as one of my fight scene. I done sword fencing, which was allowed at the time to do sword fencing, épée, foil and sabre. I done trampolining. I've done the horse riding test. I've done the swimming and the scuba diving, the paddy, and my first aid.
And obviously that's a very expensive thing to do to train.
Yes,
isn't
it was. Yeah.
What were you doing whilst you were training to pay for it?
I was working over a fruit market.
Oh, you really?
Yes, I was over at the Western National Fruit Market.
Oh, nice. And then I know just your reputation. You worked some doors in London as well.
Yes, I've done door work as well. I've done plenty of door work. At weekends, I was doing door work to fund my stunt.
Right, I think you, because I know you, I think you undertook your boxing career. It wasn't just professional boxing, you used to bare-knuckle fight quite a lot.
I'll be truthful, when I was a professional boxer, and then I retired from boxing, and that's when I started training to become a register. And I got, a friend of mine, he's a travelling boy, and he said to me to come and help him. He was getting ready for a fight, an unlicensed fight. And he said, come and do a little bit of training with him. So I've done some trials, doing some training with him, and I got myself in double good shape. And he said to me, listen, I don't know why you don't come and do a little bit yourself and earn a few quid. So that's how I started doing a little bit of that as well. Bit of bare knuckle, unlicensed fighting. Yeah, it's all right, yeah.
Cool, and obviously there's some scary people that you're fighting with.
Oh, there's some different characters. Some real characters there, yeah, nice guys.
This might be a really stupid question, but what are the, like, are the rounds the same in unlicensed fight? Like, is it still like 3 minutes and 1 minute off, or is it like...
It all depends, Danny. What they say, back in the day when Nosha Powell was doing it with the likes of unlicensed boys like Len McLean,
right,
and Roy Shaw, then... It was an unlicensed venue. It's like a pretty smart circus, and all the local boys, the villains, all knew about where to go, and it's a secret. It's all kept secret, so the police didn't raid it because it wasn't licensed.
Right.
With the unlicensed boxing now, the venue is licensed. It's just the boxers are unlicensed. Huh. You know, like retired fighters, they want to get back and do a little bit more. You know what I mean? Or fancy earning a few quid.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So I've seen many a punch up with you and Dave Garrick.
I was just about to say, one of my the great bit I do with Dave Garrick. I've got to be truthful, I've met some tough people in my life. And like I say, I've done unlicensed fighting. And to answer your question earlier, no, bare-knuckle fighting, there is no rounds until someone goes down or gives you the best and all that. You know, if you've had enough or you get knocked out, then you can call it a day, yeah? But when it's unlicensed fighting, it's like three-minute rounds. It's the same as a boxing match. But with Dave Garrick, he's from the Paras. He's a parachutist, a para regiment, and he's a tough dude there. We've done some boxing matches and some fight scenes, and we just get a bit carried away. And
Yeah, a little bit carried away is an understatement, Brian. I've seen the boys, Joey, yeah, trying to separate you a few times.
Yeah, we're controlled on set. We're controlled. We're behaved on set. We're outside of set.
When you're messing around.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But on set, we wind each other up. We G people up. And it's good because... So some of the new guys are a little bit, you know, they don't understand, they don't know the boundaries and where to go. And we sometimes overstep the boundaries a little bit and just get a little bit riled up.
I have to interject, my first experience with you, Brian, was you coming in to talk to us whilst we were on Potter, and then you were throwing me around the stunt stores all over the mats, tying me in knots.
Yeah.
Like, come here, boy, let me tie you in knots. That was my first introduction to you during the day. And then one of the boys said to me, do that impression of Brian that you did. And then that was it. You were on me then. That was it.
Yeah.
I was scared.
That's only because I liked you, David. It's when I liked you. If I like someone, that's why I'm going to have a little grapple with Daniel. I like you. We'll have a little roll out later.
Oh, I will not laugh very long.
No, but it's only because I liked you. And obviously, you're one of the chaps, you know. It's who you know. You don't, I'm like, it's not bullying. We didn't bully him.
I was there for him.
He's one of the chaps. So we're like, come here, Dan. We have a laugh with him. But listen, this dude, he was undermining himself, that way he was lively, he was quite very fast and very quick. So,
thank you, Brian.
Yeah, no, very fast. Very
and
quick,
I think, like, Dave needed taking down a peg when he first got into the industry.
How lucky was that, Brian?
Well, now listen, all my memories of you, Dave, you've been fantastic. And I'm not just saying this on camera, I'll tell you how it is. Yeah, you're a fantastic guy, you're always helpful, always courteous, always polite, always nice, exactly how a stunt performer should be. You're a professional from the beginning,
and obviously,
you use a little bit chirpy and all that. If we give you a bit, you'd give it back. So,
Brian, you can take the boy out of Essex, but you can't take Essex.
You Essex boys are all the same, isn't it? That's the way you are, you know what I mean? It's all good. No, but listen, we always thought you was a lovely bit. You and Mark Maley and Tolga come as a group, so you know. And that's what we did because we was on the register a little bit before you.
There was that sense of like nature and nurture as well as the,
yeah, course,
the banter
course,
as well.
Course.
You know, you was definitely showing us. It's important that you're able to spend 12 hours a day with someone on a film set and not do each other's nutting.
Yeah.
You know, like that's quite important. Just because you're all spending so much time in rehearsals and before the filming, it's really important that you're a social creature and that
absolutely,
you can act.
It's
socially.
One of the most important things as well, or not one, but it's one of the important things as a stunt performer. You have to be able to get on with people. You know what I mean? You've got, and that's the thing is because we go away for 6-7 weeks at a time, sometimes even longer. And you know, you've got to be able to, you know, mix in, have a laugh, and be pals. And it's your family, like you become family. It's family. You know what I mean?
And also on the side effect. Is these people are sometimes in charge of your life or your safety,
exactly,
sometimes of timing and stuff like that. And if you're not working with someone that you're confident in, then it will affect you directly.
Yeah, absolutely. No, listen, like you're saying, you know, I mean, you've got to rely on these people if they're waiting to hold yourself or holding, making sure the airbag's in the right position. These people are there to look after you, and that's what it's all about, the comradeship, yeah. Definitely, Dave, definitely.
You ever turned a stunt down?
Never. Never turned nothing down.
No, never.
So, listen, if someone rang me up and they said, oh, we want you to do a motorbike jump over 13, but or if I go, to be truthful, yeah, that's not my gag. I'm not a motorbiker.
Absolutely.
I've never been on set and someone said, right, bro, I want you to jump from there onto them boxes. Of course, I've got to say, you got to do. That's the sort of person we are.
Absolutely.
And getting back to what I was saying, we're all very similar in a certain way, yeah? But we just got that something special, and I think... When I was doing it, my training took me 5 years. 5 years of training, and I paid. You have to pay for it all yourself, and you know, like the horse riding. I was doing horse riding, sword fencing, and then I went trampolining, and onto something else on the same days. But
that's a full time job training.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was lucky. I was working over the fruit market at night from 12 o'clock till 5 a.m, going out and some sleep, and then going up and doing my stuff, my practicing, my skills in my horse riding, or my fencing, or my trampolining, or whatever I was doing, or scuba diving. Yeah, I think that's what it's all about back in the day. You have to get out there and do it. You've got to have to be a certain mindset to go, right, you know what, blinkers on, this is what I'm doing. I'm doing it. And I had so many people, knockers, going, you won't be able to do that. You're mad, what are you doing that for? You? And I just thought, do you know what, I'm going to prove you wrong. I did it when I was a professional boxer. They all say, you're not going to be a professional boxer. I did it. I proved them wrong. I did it.
And obviously, your career, we should touch on some of the films that you worked
yeah,
on.
Please, yeah, please, give us, yeah, reel them off as many as you like.
Hey, do you know Harry Potter? Four or five of the Harry Potters, yeah. I've done...
We've done Golden Compass together?
Golden Compass, that was good. Golden Compass, a good laugh. Wasn't that funny? What a funny film.
That was brilliant. You were just smashing me around on the snow every day.
Everyone's going to think, what a bully. It's only because I love him. I love him.
Being smashed about. I mean, brilliant fun.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It wasn't all just one way. It used to give me lots of lights. It's a torment all day.
The funny thing is, we were in a big crowd scene, and the adults have got to capture the kids. So there was all the small stunts. And we was in pyjamas, and they're in these soldiers' outfits with these silly hats on, shooting rifles. And we had to run away and just get smashed about, like caught and held back by the adults.
Yeah.
And literally, we was just having, like, roll camera, action. And we just, like, find someone to aim for. I'd run in, like, flat out as fast as I could. Yeah. Try and take you out, or you get me, throw me to one jump of the boys.
That's right, don't think he's all this. They'd all jump on me, like him and his pals. I'm chasing me around, jumping on me, putting me to
about
the floor.
About five of us to take Brian down.
So in a scene like that, is it are there times when you just are just allowed to improv?
Absolutely, a lot of the time.
Absolutely. The coordinator gives us directions, go, this is what I want to do. They said, right, these are the children, you've got to go, you lot have to run up there and grab them, and they have to run for me. So we'll chase you up, we'll go, right, let's all get Dave. So we're all of us, you know, I mean, we have a good laugh. We do it professional, though.
No,
we do it
professional.
So there'll always be the lead fight in the foreground, and then there'll be some of the guys that can't mess around that much behind. And then the guys in the background, in the distance, as long as you're moving, it doesn't really matter, because as long as there's just motion in the back of frame.
Yeah.
So we're just smashing the hell out of each other.
It's grabbing each other all around. It's great fun.
We haven't worked together for a while since my injury, obviously, but I saw you recently in Taboo with a great fight with Tom Hardy. Can you explain that?
Tom Hardy, well, I say great actor, as you look, great actor, lovely fella. Down earth, one of your own, absolutely lovely fella. In fact, he started coming down to jiu-jitsu with me and all that. He'd done really well, but I think he had work and he didn't come down for a while then. But, what a lovely, honestly, professional, really enjoyed the fight. We put the fight together. He had a big input in the fight.
Yeah, he seems like somebody that
picked it up
really
like
involved.
That in seconds. Picked up very good, very sharp, very good. Yeah, can't say enough about the man. Lovely fella.
And again, you were heavily featured in that. Ends with you having your intestines cut. Quite an intense scene.
It's a good film. Good to work on.
I caught your beautiful face in Rogue One recently.
With a
line as well.
A little talking part. I like to venture towards the acting a little bit.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. No, I enjoy it. That's the thing about the stunt business. It's given me so many great opportunities to. Because I love doing the acting as well, but I love stunts and I like it's being in front of the camera and doing some lines and all that, and then doing a bit of action, especially the fighting. If I'm going, doing a Rusty and I'm going, bang, bang, like, come on, you mug, do it, bang, bang, I'm fighting. I love it.
Yeah. That's the thing. I don't think people know like how much of the, like when you say stunt performer, like how much performance is actually a part of it. And like, yeah.
And if there was an Oscar for someone that could switch that normal to crazy switch, Brian, I think you'd win it.
I've seen you practice, like when
someone's asked you to turn it on, to bring aggression to the frame, honestly, mate. I don't think there's a more scary human being.
Thank you very much.
Cut, and you're as beautiful like this. It's amazing.
Thank you, David.
When did you first meet Dave? What was that one film?
God, on Harry Potter.
I think it was Potter 3.
Yeah, Potter 2.
What
year was that? I'm going to throw you in it now. What year was that, Danny? Do you remember?
2004.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, 2004.
Do you know what? Funny, all the noughties, I live my life to what Potter film I was doing.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, like, what film was I doing then? Yeah,
2004. Yeah, that's when I first met you, Dave, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, just touching on more of your stunt career.
Go on.
The locations you've been to, where have you travelled to, Brian?
Oh, I've been to some amazing. We are truly blessed. As you know, I've been to the Bahamas, I've been to America, I've just been blessed. I've been all around the world. We've been to Malta of several films. And I was saying earlier, I've been into one of the hotels, it was the Hilton, my room opened up, I thought I must be sharing with about 8 people. It was massive, all marble, it's all marble. I opened up the balcony, onto a balcony, beautiful sea view, blue sea. I was like, mate, I've arrived, look at this place for where I come from. And then a week later, I was in Ireland in Cork in his haunted old house, his old bed and breakfast going, this is not so good.
And then it keeps you grounded.
It sounds glamorous.
Film industry always does.
It sounds glamorous.
It does.
You've been there, did you work on Robin Hood on the beach scene?
Yes, I did.
I mean, that was a lot of work for you boys, I know.
Listen, that was pretty scary because you had the horses coming towards you. That was a scary scene.
20 to 40 lead horses at the front with all the stunt boys.
What was your experience, you just have to stand there while 20 horses charge?
Yeah, we had the shields and we can hear, and the stunt boys, like I say, they let us know they're coming for us. They're going to give it, listen, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean?
Be ready, boys.
We're coming. We've got this is what they're told what to do. So they've got to give it. They can't hold back. They've got to give it. They come, he's like, oh my God. He got knocked over, but it's nothing. It's all good. It's all well looked after. So yeah.
Have you ever dealt with any?
I've had a few little injuries. Nothing major. Nothing worth bragging about. A few little bits and pieces.
He says that. Okay. I'm sitting here with a spinal cord injury, Brian.
Oh no, that's what I don't
you told me stories before where you've had to do like 8 or 9 takes and woken up the next day half your body covered in bruises.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. As on the bomb, right? The dude drop under the table. And then the first take, Gary Powell, lovely guy, good school now. So right, Brian, do them, give it your best. Bang, I've come flat on the table. First one, tore all my shoulder. He goes, right, Brian. He said, that's lovely. Then one of it, a little bit more. Do it again. Go, you ready to go? Yes, sir. All good to go. That's the day. You got to just do it. Yes, no problem, boss. All good. Yes, sir. Boom, boom. Another 5, 6, 7 times. Oh, my God. Next time I woke up, my arm was absolutely black. Like, black. Bruised black it was. Absolutely bruised.
Jesus. How many
takes do you reckon you ended up doing?
I've done about 8 takes. I've got to be true. 8 takes. But he looked after me. He's like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it started getting a bit numb after the third one. So it's all right. Wasn't too bad.
I was just listing off some of the names. Have you had a fight with Jason Bourne?
Yes, I fought Bourne on the last one.
Have you been in or around a Batman film?
Yes, I've been in or around Batman, a couple of them.
Have you been in or around or had a fight with James Bond?
Oh, that one that I was talking about, the last one, Spectrum, and I landed on the table.
Right, okay, cool. Superhero film?
Superhero film, yeah, I was on Wonder Woman. Done Wonder Woman. Marvel, a couple of Marvel films. We've done some fighters. Yeah, done some bits and pieces of that, yeah.
And
what do I always do fighting for? All I do is fighting.
It's a face for fighting, mate.
Yeah, it's not a romantic face,
A face only a mother can.
Motivates you to do? What's like when you're saying like, you know, go for that 8th take and your shoulder's like black and blue, what is it about it that you go like, I'll do this again tomorrow and every day and the next day after that?
To be truthful, I don't know the answer to that question. It's just your job. That's what we're there for. That's what we do. That's what we've got to do. And you want to do a good job. Yeah. You want to do a good job. It's like, I think it's, And like David said earlier, we all come from like performance. Like as a boxer, I boxed in front of thousands of people at Wembley. And, you know, I had 20 professional fights. And then, you know, I think it's just, you like that adrenaline. It's the adrenaline, you like the buzz. It's the buzz. I love it. You know what I mean? I love it. And then when you actually see it, you go, bang, you look, wow. And everyone goes, well done. It's the pats on the back as well. It's the same as the boxing. Hey, well done, son. Yeah, good boy. And it's the same as, oh, you've done a great job, David. Yeah. And it makes you feel good, honestly.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Makes you feel good, honestly.
Just talking about some jobs, I mean, can you name a stunt that you've done that where you thought this could go really wrong today?
Yes, I've got just the one. No, I've done my first full fire burn on a job, and with the fire mask. You know, I've done partial burns. Partial burns is where they just do a little bit more, and it's still a little bit thing, but it's not so bad, is it? But on Game of Thrones, it was on Game of Thrones. The first ones when I'm not been really watching it, but the zombies when the first zombie.
Yeah,
I got set on fire. It's my first full fire job. It was, and what I'd done, they sent me down to the place where to get the mask moulded. So what you have to do is, you know yourself, Dave, you have to stand there with the things on and all that. They plaster the thing, put tubes up, you know. So I know for a fact I'm not claustrophobic, yeah? I've had masks on, I have a job to do. I go, are you up? Like, you can't move, yeah? So a man's just there, you can't move, okay? So anyway, so I'll cut a long story short, they've given me the mask, yeah? So they've given me the mask. So I put the mask on. Got the mask on, you know, so they've got little tubes in. If you've ever done one, you can't see anything, it's just a full mask. You put it on, you know, breathe through it, cushy, all good, yeah, no problem, yeah. They've done on the day, we've done a few bits and pieces, yeah, they've set me off, yeah, all good. Right, on the actual shoot when we're doing it, yeah, and they've got to get the mask out. Now, the mask on now, what I didn't realise, they put Zel Gel on my, which is a protection from the fire, as you know, I put on my face. They've put the mask on, and as I put it on, it's all sucked to my face and I can't breathe. So, and I've got all this stuff in my hands. So I'm going, so I pulled it off. Oh, talk about starting to panic. Now they're going, right. And you know yourself, when you're doing a fire job, yeah, everyone has to be ready for you. They can't say, right, oh, hang on, we've got to change the lighting because of the Zel Gel and they placed me up and they're ready to set me on fire. So now it's like, oh my goodness. Now I just had to suck it. That's when you become, you know, you got, like when you're a fighter, you're getting beat, you're getting punched, you're getting, just got to suck it. I'm like, come on, champ, you can do it. Come on, champ, you got to do it. And that's exactly what I did on that day. I was that kind of, oh man, this is not good. But that was a close one, but that's where I had to dig deep on that one. I've got to be truthful.
Yeah.
How long were you on fire for?
It doesn't sound long, for about 30 seconds.
That's enough. You can feel that, can't you?
Yeah, when they pull the pen, they go, right, and then they light you, and you're like, and then you have to wait for them to go, right, you're on fire, bright guy, and then you start doing your movement and all that. Yeah, so
So there's that wait after you take your breath before you go, before you set on fire.
Yeah, and obviously, if it's a really wide frame, sometimes you'll have to take your breath, run into frame.
Yeah.
Then whatever it is sets you on fire in the frame. Sometimes it'd be like a ball of flames that sets you on fire, and then you've got to do all your performance and then get down. I mean, you're lucky if you can get more than a minute. But there's been known, like, 5 or 6 minute fire jobs before. I mean, do you know Vlado from Game of Thrones? Didn't he do a great one, right? So he underneath his fire mask, he had a tube all the way down his arm, his costume, went underneath his mask to his mouth. And then in his hand, he had a sword. And he had like a 5 minute sword fighting routine, fully on fire, a full fight routine. It's unbelievable.
He is a phenomenal
stunt performer. And you know, now he's cast as the lead White Walker in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
He is the biggest baddie in it, you know. So the next two series, I love watching him. Now, just talking about other stuntmen and other people that we've worked with, is there a job that you can remember viewing from afar or hearing about? That's a top stunt, you know. I would have liked to have done that, or I'd have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, that's a difficult one, Dave. There's loads.
What about a fight routine that you thought, you know what, that was a good fight?
Oh, come on, the Rockies. I was a bit young, but the Rocky films. I still watch them now, and they still... You know, like as a former now, and you know the industry, and you know the bits. But I still think there was good fights. I still like the Rocky fights. I really like the Rocky ones.
I mean, I don't think that's great.
I think,
this is lovely. Thank you very much.
I think you're all right, mate.
Always a pleasure. Thanks
that was so great. Much. I love you.
I love you, honestly.
Lovely man. Awesome, you're wicked.
Brian Sonny Nichols, ladies and gentlemen, a legend of the film industry. He may be gone, but he'll never be forgotten. On a personal note, I want to extend my condolences to Simone and all of Brian's family and let them know that they are part of our extended stunt family, and myself and the whole UK stunt community are here for you if you ever need anything. I hope you enjoyed listening to this very special episode of Cunning Stunts. We'll have another one for you soon. I miss you, Brian. I love you, mate. Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.